Okay. We are ready to get started this evening. I'm going to leave the line off of mute. If you have any noise in the background, just go ahead and press star 6. That'll mute your individual line. I'd like to have you participate as much as possible this evening. We're going to be talking about mental creation. And welcome to our Tuesday night celebration of life. We're going to spend most of our night tonight on practical things that we can do to get some control over what's happening in our mind. I'll share some principles with you basically, but I'd like to spend a lot of time on practical processes, things we can actually do that will shift or help us manage these thought processes and mental creation. I'm going to take each one of the thoughts and walk through some ideas with you. Some of them you may have heard. Tonight is a night of let's get really clear so that we can apply them in our lives. Turn to your assessment, mental creation. There are 6 measurements. This is the area of our assessment where our thoughts are about thinking. They're not about how we feel about our life. They're not about how we feel about ourselves or other people. We're just thinking about thinking as it relates to our own personal life. What is my primary source of motivation? So when I'm looking at a task, what am I thinking in terms of how I'd like to approach it? What is the core foundational source of motivation? When I think about me showing up and doing life, what am I expecting of myself? That's just a concept. It's in my mind. I haven't done it yet, but what am I expecting myself to do? In terms of how I'd like my life to look, in terms of whether I'm open to any other ideas than the ones I have. How am I feeling about everything that needs to be done, and how committed am I to this process? This is just stuff that occurs in our mind. We haven't yet stepped into life. We're not focusing on how we feel about ourselves. This is just thinking about thinking. This is one of the most active parts of our mind. We're going to focus just on the right-hand side tonight. We could spend time in discipline and structure. We'll come back to that in a few weeks, but tonight, mental creation. We're going to start with self-direction. I'm going to walk you through just a little bit of what this means. Self-direction is asking a question. When we are looking at taking on our life, are we self-directed, self-governed? Which means acting on our own moral authority. Now, don't let that scare you. It just means I'm choosing to do the next right thing for the right reason. I'm choosing. I'm not doing this because I've got fear of failure. I'm not doing this because I feel obligated. I have to, or I should, or I must. Don't do this because of fear of consequences if I don't do it. I'm choosing to do this myself. Myself. This is a powerful place from which to live. We're going to want to do our very best to get here as quickly as possible. This decision is made when we first open our eyes in the morning. Now, it doesn't mean we don't keep making it through the day. But if we don't make it then, if we get up and, I'm tired and I'm overwhelmed and I didn't sleep well and I have to go to work and then I have to go do this and I need to go do that and, if I don't do this, I won't make enough money and I won't be able to pay my mortgage and that all that discussion going on, that's what happens when self-direction goes out of balance. I just want you to hear it. Listen this next week to see if you can hear dialogue that says have to, should, must, need to. Even some anxiety, that little cortisol surge when you think about what happens if you don't. Self-direction. Are you self-directed? Now remember, when you're sitting here in the observer's chair, we are self-directed. That's our choice. I'm choosing to sit here. This is only when we get yanked over to that other chair over there that we'll get into fear of failure or have to, should, and must. Now, there's a simple exercise. It's just the beginning of this process, but it's a simple exercise. to help us understand, I want everybody to draw a circle. Draw a circle on a piece of paper. Now, many of us have been through this circle before. At the top, we're going to treat it like a clock face. Write the word obligation. Obligation. Everything I have to do, should, and must. At 2 o'clock, write the word tired. Because when we approach life, that decision in the morning, if we don't make the decision to be in charge and we just let our thought processes push us through the day like a big bulldozer, we're going to be exhausted just dodging the bulldozer, the blade from cutting our legs off. It's exhausting crawling around in front of a bulldozer opposed to driving the thing. We get tired. 4 o'clock, write the word rebel. When we can't take it anymore, what do we do? What do you do? Just write down next to 4 o'clock, write rebel. Just write down what you do. Do you become reclusive? Do you get angry? Ornery even? Do you run away? Do you hide? What do you do when you just can't take it anymore? You're so tired you just can't take it anymore. Because if we reach that point at 6 o'clock, we might think about quitting. Just write the word quit. We might think about quitting. Of course, we'll almost all at 8 o'clock start feeling guilty for even having thought about that. So guilty is at 8 o'clock. At 10 o'clock on this cycle, on this clock face, write the word recommit. Recommit. Then we go back and we do what we have to and should and must. With even fear of consequences if we don't. And again, until we get tired, then we rebel, we think about quitting, we feel guilty, we recommit, we go back and do what we have to, should, and must, until we get tired, and we get in this ugly, ugly cycle. Just know that a lot of people are in this cycle. A lot of people. To break out of this cycle, we make a different decision in the morning. Now this, I'm going to be a little dramatic about this, because this decision is can be difficult to make. If our unhealthy habit of thinking, if self-direction is orange or red, it's pulling on us really hard in the morning. We may actually wake up in that chair over there. I want you to take a 3x5 card. Now, I talk about this in the book. We've talked about it in our coaching. But let's actually do it tonight. A 3x5 card. And you're going to write, I, put it in quotation marks, I, that's the real you, I want to. Could you hear the inflection in my voice? Well, I want to. You may not want to, but I want to. I, quotation marks, get to. I get to. Third, I, quotation marks around the I, I choose to. I want to. I get to. I choose to. Now, one of my favorite lines, it's an incredibly insightful line for 1968. This comes out of Scroll 9. I will command. So put I, quotation marks, I will command. That's me sitting here in the observer's chair. Now, look over there and point at your thought processes. Those are your thought processes. And I will obey my command. I will command. And I obey my own command. Now you want to make, you can do this with a, just cut a piece of paper about 3x5. Put one of these on your nightstand. Tape one to your bathroom mirror. If you work at home, put it on your computer station here, or in an office, put it on your computer station. Put one on the dashboard of your car. And do this tomorrow morning. Have some fun with this. When you first wake in the morning, reach over and pick up that 3x5 card and read it. Just read it. You will know which chair you're sitting in. You'll hear it in the tone of your voice. I want to, I get to, I choose to. I want to, I get to, I choose to. If you have to, and I'm speaking to a group of CEOs tomorrow, 18 of them down in Houston, Texas. I fly out in the morning. I can tell you right now, and I'm going to tell them if they have to stand up on their bed and jump up and down till they finally get it coming out of the fibers of their being, do not leave your bed until your true voice from the observer's chair is reading that statement. just have some fun with this. See just how much force, not force, power, that unhealthy habit of thinking may have over you. Can you do it in a couple readings? Can you feel it? I want to. I get to. I choose to. I will command, and I will obey my own command. You can feel it when we say it. You can feel the determination, the perseverance, the pertinacity almost. You can feel that energy in the read. You want to feel that before you ever climb out of bed. Make this decision when you first open your eyes to take on your life. On your life. This is a great gift to give yourself in the morning. Using that visual of the bulldozer, you're climbing up in the seat of the bulldozer, and you're going to drive today. You're going to act on your own moral authority, doing the next right thing for the right reason, because you want to. You get to, and you choose to. Have some fun with this. Those voices over there in that other chair, they don't think this is funny. I don't feel like it. Well, we may actually not feel like it. In scroll number 6, Og says, "Weak is he who allows his thoughts to control his actions. Strong is he who forces his actions to control his thoughts." I want to. I get to. I choose to. We want to take this, take back control, because we do know that if we're letting them run the day, the molecules that are being released in your body will exhaust the cells of your body. You will be exhausted. You might as well strap a backpack on with 75 pounds of bricks in it and just carry it through the day. You might as well. Or take it off. Stand up and walk over here and sit in this chair and say, "I'm in charge. I want to. I get to. I choose to." And as soon as you're in that space, then leap out of bed and go do the first thing you want to do on your list. If that's a workout, if that's reading, if that's getting ready, whatever it might be, go do the first thing, then do the next thing, and feel how energized you can be and committed you can be when you make this decision when you first get up in the morning. So have some fun with this very first measurement, self-direction. Drop me an email, dave@ogmandino.com. Tell me what happened tomorrow morning. Let me know. I'd love to be getting an email from you as I'm getting ready to stand up to talk to these CEOs. I could read it to them. I'd love to have one of you send me an email I could read to them. We all sometimes think, not all, we can, it's dangerous, but we can start to think we're above this kind of an exercise. Oh, that's childish. That's ridiculous. Every one of those comments is coming from that habit of thinking over there. Because over here, we think this is incredible. This is wise. To be in charge of our day, let us choose to do that. Next measurement's honorable. Many of you have this measurement orange. A few of you have it red. Honorable is asking me, do I have a reasonable expectation for what I can get accomplished in a day? Do I have a reasonable expectation? When this measurement starts to go orange or red, it's saying, I'm expecting perfection. Perfection. Wow. What are the chances we'll actually be perfect? According to my records, other than the Bible stories, there hasn't been a perfect person on this planet. I have to be Christian, so I believe in Christ. That's my belief. I also believe that he was only half mortal. So when we look at the planet and we look at the billions and billions and billions of people who've lived on this planet, no one's ever been perfect. Yet this thought process may want you to be the first one. And if you were, if you actually made it, you would not even be able to celebrate. Isn't that odd? Would we be able to celebrate perfection? Because that's what it expected. An unrelenting, unyielding pursuit of the unachievable. Mark LeBlanc, who just had a birthday, taught me a great lesson on this measurement. He just said, very simply, better done than perfect. better done than perfect. Because when we expect perfection, and it's so exhausting to try it every time and fail, we might actually avoid doing. It may keep us from taking action. That's honorable. So what are we doing with this measurement? Let's focus on just doing. Better done than perfect. Doing things with excellence. So we come into the day with, I will do the very best I can. And be excited about that. And will it be perfect? No. And we'll be okay with that. Next measurement, goal-oriented. I've spent so much time talking about goal-oriented. Many of you have this measurement, orange and red. This measurement can be a great gift. Now, I've shared this with many of you before, and you've heard me say it many times from the stage, or you've read about it in the books. This measurement can create more havoc in your life and incredible blessings depending on how you choose to use it. You can use it, this vivid visualization, destructively. Go into the future to a time when everything is exactly the way your mind would like it to be. Out of debt, house you're living in, car you're living in, everything you want to have. And we just for a moment live beyond, just beyond. We go and start playing out those scenarios. Now, depending on which call you've been on, you may have heard me tell this story, but I'm going to say it again this night just to make sure everybody's heard it. I was speaking with Nikki Stone. Was that about 4 weeks ago, Ramon? Is that about right? 3 or 4 weeks ago? Yeah. At the Design Your Life seminars. Nikki spoke just before me, and Nikki is a gold medal inverted ski jumper, you know, where you go up and that real steep slope, and you do like three twists and a turn and a somersault or two, and you land. She was in her first Olympics, and they're in the trials, the opening trials, trial jumps, and the top 12 get to go on to the medal round, the top 12. And she did her first jump, and when everybody had finished their first jump, she was number one. Number one. Very exciting. She got back up to the top of the hill, and she turned to the audience and she says, what was I thinking about? What was I thinking about? And somebody in the audience said, oh, your next jump, or whether you're going to hurt your back, or all those kind of comments based on the story she shared. She said, no, I was thinking about the Jay Leno show. So I was. I was sitting at the top of the hill thinking about the Jay Leno show. I just won the gold medal. I'd been invited to go to the Jay Leno show. I was being interviewed by Jay. There's, you know, limousines, Learjets, the whole thing. She said, you want to know how my jump turned out? She said, I did a perfect jump, except for when I went to land, I realized I was 3 feet above the ground, over-rotated on my back, back up on my skis. After deductions, 0.57 out of 200 points, 0.57, she was in 13th place. She missed the medal round. Too many of us play life this way. We focus on the outcome and what it's going to be like after. Instead of focusing on between here and there, because nothing after matters. Nothing after matters if we don't deliver the goods. If we don't win the gold, there is no Jay Leno show. If we don't execute that meeting, well, there is no customer. If we don't make those phone calls, there is no prospect. We stay focused on the next task at hand. I talk about in my book today, I Begin a New Life, Peter Vidmar, who's practicing for the Olympics for 11 years. 5-6 hours a day, 6 days a week. He took off Sundays. I've shared this story, but I just heard Peter tell this story again because he was the closing speaker at the Design Your Life seminars. And he reiterated the story. 30 days off. That's the only, other than Sundays, only took 30 other days off in 11 years. And then during the practice, they never once went beyond the final exercise, which would be the parallel bars. They're in competition with China. They haven't beat them since 1904. And if Tim Daggett and Peter, workout partners, do near-perfect routines, they beat China, win the gold. That was their visualization, as far as it went. If they win, if near perfection, they win. They never went beyond win. They didn't go to the speaking engagements, Learjets, and the Wheaties box, and the Jay Leno show, or whomever. Back then, it might have been David Letterman back then. Whatever, I mean, Johnny Carson back then. Bottom line is, how often do we do that? You know, it's just so exciting. And I got $100,000 a month coming in from my business, and I could buy this and do this. We start thinking about all the stuff we could do. Challenge is that with an orange or a red measurement and goal-oriented, wherever we go, wherever it is, the mind just created a new reality. They have a name for it. It's called a mental construct. We've just constructed a new reality. Now, many of you have been through this process. You've heard me talk about this, but how many of us have, since the last time we had this conversation, you dared to go into the future to a time when it was done and started playing out one of those scenarios and had exactly what we're talking about? Norepinephrine coursing through my system, I'm feeling euphoric, and within 12 hours, reality strikes, and the body goes into an autonomic response. There's an autonomic nervous system in the body. That's what runs our lungs, our heart, our kidneys, things we don't have to think about. They just happen. We have an autonomic response, which is cortisol, lightning bolt in our gut, fight or flight center, our amygdala shuts down our brain, our hippocampus gets shut down, and we are rendered emotionally paralyzed. That is a guaranteed autonomic, you cannot avoid it, I cannot avoid it, experience whenever we go into the future to an event and then start living beyond it. That is exactly what happens, and it happens every time. You can't stop it. When we have an orange or a red, we must, well, let me restate that, we'll want to do something different. And that different we've talked about, mental rehearsal, exploring possibilities, seeking inspiration, problem solving, planning, goal setting. We'll spend a little bit on that toward the end of our session today. Those five constructive ways of thinking. I'm not going to go into fantasy because I skip all the work. Go to an event, done, and live beyond. Instead of going to the event and then coming back and focusing on everything that needs to be done to get there and starting to execute on the next thing, knowing I'll never get there if I don't do this. This is a prerequisite to that experience. And we focus on the work of creation. When we do that, we're starting to use our mind constructively. We don't want to go into dark dungeons of despair and discouragement and wallow in our misery. That will do us absolutely no good. We want to make the choice to get up out of that as quickly as possible. Go into something like inspiration, exploration. We'll talk about those five ways of thinking. But these five ways of thinking, instead of creating this norepinephrine, cortisol, unnatural, devastating experience, we do what the body's built to do. We get an inspired idea. What can I create? How can I create that? How will that serve? Bang. Idea. Could do that. Oh, yeah. Lights up part of our brain that's normally dormant. And we work passion-driven without counting the cost or tracking the time. color-oriented, gold or red, just write down on your notes tonight, this could be one of my greatest gifts if, capital if, I use it constructively. It's extremely powerful. It is like a fire hose that'll rip the bark off a tree. We just want to make sure we've got it positioned in the right direction, or it'll destroy our life. Goal-oriented, powerful measurement. Coachable. In our thought processes, are we open to new ideas that could bring value to our life? Are we open to that? Or is this orange or red where we're closed? It doesn't mean that we're not coachable. It just means that our thought process, this thought process, not me, this thought process, is really comfortable the way it's been thinking. Well, of course, we go into fantasy. That norepinephrine is addictive. We've got a drug addiction. I've said before, norepinephrine, if it were a prescribed drug, it would be a controlled substance. It's that powerful. It's like cocaine, morphine, fentanyl. It's very powerful. And we can be addicted to going into the future and then living beyond because of the norepinephrine release. We could be drug addicted. We will feel some withdrawal. We'll feel the withdrawal as we start to use our mind constructively. But every time we get that inspired idea, act on it, and create something we do not have, real money in a real bank account with which to buy a real couch, we'll start to get more and more passion around staying in constructive ways of using this gift. So coachable just may say we're stuck. Pragmatic. Pragmatic is a measurement that tells us whether or not our thought processes will support us in being pragmatic, which is like practical, about how long it will take to take the actions, complete the creation process for our dreams to come to fruition. Because in our mind, it just wants it right now. It's already seen. It's done. Ah, want it. Pragmatic's asking, okay, can we think through comfortably what it's going to actually take? And we're seeing this measurement orange more and more and more. And when it's orange, it's just saying we're beginning to become overwhelmed. You see, our mind processes differently when we're thinking about how we'd like things to be than how our mind is functioning when we're working on a task in reality. When we're working on a task or thinking about our life, we now are living in linear time. Tick, 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 tick. 60 seconds makes a minute. 60 minutes make an hour. 24 hours make a day. 7 days make a week. That's linear time. However, in our mind, when we're just thinking about what it's going to take, the risk is when this starts to get over-focused, starts to turn orange, we start to see it as a gestalt, which means everything ever-present. It's all here, one big whole. Everything that needs to be done to get back to where I used to be or where I'd like to be. It is overwhelmed just thinking about everything that needs to be done. Og talked to us about this in Scroll 5. We'll want to spend time with Scroll 5, where we start to throw good away after what he says is called maybe. Why should I throw now after maybe? Can tomorrow's sand flow through the glass before today's? You know, here we are worried about Friday. Can Friday's sand flow through the hourglass before today's? Will the sun rise twice this morning, or three or four or five times? Can I perform tomorrow's deeds, or Thursday's deeds, Friday's deeds, Saturday's deeds, while standing in today's path? These are rhetorical questions. Of course we can't. But yet our mind has Thursday and Friday and Saturday and everything we needed, every call that needs to be done, every person we need to talk to, everything ever present, and we're overwhelmed by what needs to be done in April. We're only on the 19th of March. Can I place tomorrow's gold in today's purse? In other words, why go into the future and start spending gold that hasn't been made? Let us focus on what it takes to actually make it. A little bit later he said, should I concern myself over events which I may never witness? Should I torment myself with problems that may never come to pass? No. Let's not do that anymore. If you've got a measurement that's pragmatic and it's orange, you're going to want to be with us next week because we're going to talk about power sessions. How to stay present in the now, studying scroll 5 and 9 and 7, doing 3 power sessions a day, focused on the next task at hand. If we can stay present in now, the only time when we touch the timeline of our life, the only time that matters, this is where we create our dreams, in the now, which it always is. It's always now. 10 minutes from now, it's still now. 10 years from now, still now. In the now, we can start to schedule those things out, have some plans. Okay, that's what I'm going to do today. And all of our effort, all of our energy, all of our vivid visualization is on, what could I create? How can I create that? How will that serve this one task? How could I make these phone calls? What could I say that's different? How would that serve the people? Boom, idea. I set my passion. I'm doing things I normally wouldn't do. Because I'm excited about doing something I normally wouldn't want to do because I'm using my vivid visualization to manifest an inspired idea of how I could do it better, different, more exciting. That's how we overcome pragmatic. We start living in the now, and as Og said, not trying to do tomorrow's task while standing in today's path. Last one is resolute. We're starting to see this one orange. This group I'm doing tomorrow, 13 out of the 18 have this measurement, red or orange. It's very unusual. Resolute is a measurement that says, in my mind, how committed am I to this direction of my life? How committed am I? Am I predictable? Am I sustainable? Or am I just uncommitted? In other words, I'm not sure which direction to go into. Relationship-wise, career path-wise, am I not committed? For anybody on the phone tonight who's got a resolute that is orange or red, let me just share a couple of thoughts with you. Maxwell Maltz made a great comment in Psycho-Cybernetics. He said that there's no such thing as a perfect decision. We make good decisions, and then we basically work our fannies off to turn them into great decisions. We make a good decision. This measurement is a systemic thought, which means it processes in all or nothing, right or wrong, win or lose, life or death, but especially all or nothing. I remember coaching with a school teacher who was part of a networking group, and she was saying, I don't want to be a school teacher for the next 30 years. So she was trying to, which meant she didn't want to make the decision to sign her contract for next year because she didn't want to be a school teacher for the next 30 years. It was all, the rest of her life, or nothing. That's just not how life works, but that's how this thought process can work. We make the best decision. Okay, I'm going to approach this for the next 12 months. I'm going to pour my heart into it. Here are my benchmarks. I'll see if other doors of opportunity open up, but I'm going to stay committed in this direction for a sustained period of time. That's healthy. But it's not a lifelong decision, especially in a career path, anything to do with work. In a relationship, the more committed we can be where we just push everything else aside and we put all our emotions and all of our passion and all of our intimacy, all of that focused on one person, that's a beautiful thing to do in a relationship. if we've got hesitations, we're going to wonder, explore, am I hesitating because I want to keep my options open? Is this about satisfying me? Am I mature enough now to serve another human being, to care enough about them, to want to watch them breathe when they're sleeping at night, to listen to them, to lift them, to build them? Sometimes when we're not committed in a relationship, it's because we are focused on us solely. And sometimes it's because there's a problem in the relationship and we need to pay attention. And we're hesitant to change it because there's other complications in there, like intimacy, etc. Just take a look at what's keeping you from being committed. If you've got that orange or red, just look at it. If it's relationship, career, if it's career, move forward. Test what you're doing by putting your whole heart into it. If it's a relationship, get really deadly honest with yourself so that you can make a wise decision moving forward. Because it's very unhealthy in a relationship to pretend like we're in one but not be committed to it. That's really a painful way to live for all parties involved. Okay. Those are the six measurements. I just want to pause. Does anybody have a question about one of those six measurements before we go into the five constructive ways of thinking? Anyone that's got a question or comment? Okay. Everybody feel this one? Where we're sitting here going, ooh, who's in charge in the morning? Me or an unhealthy habit of thinking? I'm going to choose to be honorable, better done than perfect. Goal-oriented, we're going to use our mind constructively. Coachable, we're going to step back from this and say, you may not want to be open, but I certainly am, because what I'm doing right now isn't working great. I want to make a shift. Pragmatic, we stay present in the now, focused on the task at hand. We don't start thinking about what needs to be done tomorrow and the day after and the day after and the day after. As soon as we go there, we're in overwhelm. We're just in overwhelm, because that's how it will work. And resolute, we want to start getting committed to a direction for our career and for our relationships, or make a different decision. Be clear. Make those decisions. Now, in terms of goal-oriented, if we will use this properly, and I've said this is the third time tonight I've said this, so I'm trying to emphasize these three questions. What can I create? What can I create? Now, if you're prayerful, you might be talking to God. If you're meditating, you might be speaking to your inner genius. However your belief system works, just put the question out there to the universe. What can I create in this given situation, in this meeting I'm doing tomorrow, in this presentation I'm doing tomorrow, in these phone calls I'm doing? What could I create? Get an idea. How can I create that? How will that serve? A couple weeks ago on our Tuesday night call at 6 o'clock, Evelyn was sharing with us, she works for a network marketing company, has some facial products. She's going to do a demonstration at a spa on Saturday. And we mentally rehearsed her event. I'd like to make that opportunity available to anyone tonight who has something really important coming up in the next week. If you'd like to come out, I'd like to serve you. We mentally rehearsed for her, and the very things that came up in our mental rehearsal were the very things that came up in her presentation. Evelyn reported that she got three new distributors, and in addition to that, two additional customers. Incredible experience. Never had anything happen like it before. But she was so prepared, so in tune with the people who were going to be there before she ever got there. Because there is a power in the universe who knows who's coming. You ask, how could I serve them? You'll get ideas. So is there anybody on the call tonight who would like to take an event they've got coming up? And together, let us just do some mental rehearsing. Let me work with you and to help you strengthen that muscle and see what's possible. Anybody would like to come out and do that tonight?
Hi, Dave. It's Drummond.
Hi. Is this Drummond?
Yeah.
Hi, Drummond. How are you? I haven't heard your voice in a long time.
I'm fantastic. Better for hearing your cheery little voice.
Well, thank you. What have you got coming up, Drummond?
Well, I got going to help with a presentation on Thursday night, which I'm excited about, but I'm certainly game to do some visualization about it.
What will your role be Thursday night?
My role will be to give the segment of the presentation, live presentation in front of an audience, on the health slides and part of the presentation.
Okay, so the health benefits.
Mm-hmm.
How many sections does this presentation have?
I think it's got three main sections, I think, really.
Three main sections? Is one of those your comp plan for your company?
No,
they well, yes, they do touch into the business segment at the final part.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the health and wealth side of it, two main parts, if you will, but the health side is broken into kind of an intro about the company, Dr. Wentz, and then into some health benefits, and then into the products, and then into the
Are you the first one up in the presentation?
Second, I think. Yeah.
Okay, what will the first person be doing? I just want to see this.
Introduction.
Just basic introduction.
Yeah.
Okay. And how long will they normally take?
They'll take 5 minutes.
Okay. In your training, how important is that you follow a very specific script?
Pretty important, I think. Once one has that down pat really well, then you can stray slightly, but I think it's important to touch on the same elements every time.
Okay. Same elements. That's good, because you got slides, I would assume, that you use, like
Correct.
A PowerPoint. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, I want you... Are you somewhere where you can close your eyes?
Yes.
Okay. I've just finished the introduction. I'm turning over to Drummond to talk about the health benefits, and they give an applause, and you stand in front of the room. I want you to picture yourself standing in front of the room and all of these people sitting in front. How many people might be there, for an example?
50.
50. How many of these are people that you've invited?
Three or four, maybe.
Three or four. Okay. What have you done between... What night is this? Is this Thursday night?
Correct.
Thursday night. Tonight's Tuesday night. What have you done between tonight and Thursday night to raise the percentage chance of those you've invited to raise the possibilities that they actually show up? Just be with me for a moment.
Yeah.
Just reflect on the names of the people. Matter of fact, if you can just give me a first name of one of the people you've invited.
Sheila.
Sheila. Is Sheila married?
She's separated/divorced.
Separated/divorced. Any children?
One.
One child. What's the age?
The daughter's in their early 20s.
Early 20s, so a little bit older. Okay. So babysitting's not an issue?
No, and she's retired, so.
She's retired. Okay. Why is she coming?
She's coming because I've connected. She's an old friend. We've been in choir together for, I don't know, 15 plus years. And she She is a networker. She's very much great at that, although I've been really patient. She's been on the products now for about a year, and she's doing very well. And she's now come back from a long trip down to Australia, several months trip, and she's quite keen to augment her income and thinks that she might want to do the business. So
wonderful. I just want you to be with it for a moment. In terms of Sheila, what can you create in preparation for Thursday night that would bless her life? Just think about Sheila for a moment. Just close your eyes and just be with her. What could you create for Sheila?
Well, I had a great chat with her today and shared some things about the creation of a really strong and powerful why, and just actually sent the email just before getting on here to her with those resources to, you know, and I've spent an hour or so on the phone with her using join.me to show her some resources that she was getting excited about. So I did those things and then helped her clear her schedule for Thursday, and hopefully that'll all come to fruition.
You're practicing on, you're already mentally rehearsing and executing all those phone calls, preparation, etc. I just want to explore with you, and for the benefit of anybody on the phone, we have that tendency to expect people to come when, absent what you did today, we're just a pimple in their life. And we want to be more than a pimple in our life, because the only people who are going to come are those who show up, right?
Right.
Does she know you're presenting?
Good question. I'm not sure if I mentioned that or not. But I will when I confirm with her tomorrow or the next day.
Here's an idea. I'm just mentally rehearsing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm mentally rehearsing you standing in front of the room, and what I saw, based on what you shared with me, was her standing and giving a testimonial about her favorite product. Imagine a phone call tomorrow to Sheila. Sheila, I was just thinking about Thursday evening. I'm presenting the part on health benefits. Of all the products that you've been on for the last year, which one's your favorite?
Right.
And let her start telling you about it. Sheila, would you help me out? Could I call on you during my presentation to share your experience with that product? Would you do that for me?
That's a great idea, yeah.
A couple of things. You just absolutely cemented her presence. If she agrees to do that, then she's got to come to do it. Unless it makes her nervous. She says, oh, I couldn't do that. I couldn't talk. Well, okay, it's okay. I just want to check. But she says, oh, I'd love to. Now she has another why for coming. But that's just what I saw. She's been on the product for a year. I see her. Why don't you ever participate? Wow. She's going to feel so much a part of this if she participates. We have to report back to us next week if this works. Now we're standing in front of the room. Do you see anybody with their arms closed? See anybody who's looking skeptical?
Yeah, there's a couple of people off to the left.
Yeah. What could you say to them?
I could just share my experience of having been skeptical initially of the benefits of supplementation, having had some not so beneficial experiences, and then having tried, I have a specific example of something that was very demonstrative, using the glucosamine type of thing, which I used to think was a wives' tale, and then Dr. Wentz's formulation really changed a very painful shoulder I'd had, so in very short order, which was quite surprising and got my attention.
Yeah. A vulnerable, transparent story. Beautiful idea. I think I may have shared this when we were working with your group, but it came back to me because I'm still waiting for someone at the front of a room to actually say this. You know, before I go into the health benefits, Who's here for the first time? Just raise your hands. Do you know how many people we invited to come here tonight? Do you know? There's 10 of you, brand new people here tonight. Thank you for being here. Do you know how many people we invited? 42. Bill, why did you come? Well, I'm Harold's friend, and I promised him I'd be here. Thanks for keeping your word. I'm going to do my very best to make this worth your time. Sue, why did you come? Well, thank you. I just wanted to acknowledge that you kept your commitment and how much we deeply appreciate that for you. I'm going to do everything I can to create value for you. If you can pull out a paper and a pen and just take some notes, if you've got any questions about what I'm sharing, would you just ask me? I really want to have you go home with a working knowledge of what we're talking about, just or however you want to say it. You say it better than me, Drummond. But pulling these people in that have got their arms closed and kind of sitting back, stepping into their world, and this is the one I'm waiting for someone to say. Now, everybody smile just for a minute. Anybody here, the 10 that are here for the first time, raise your hands again. Did any of you about 3 o'clock this afternoon try to come up with an idea, an excuse for not showing up tonight? Anybody? I remember the first time I came to a meeting, I kept trying to come up with an excuse to not come, and I couldn't come up with one. I just want you to know that we want to honor your sacrifice for spending this evening with us. This is awesome to have you here. This means so much to us. I want to talk to you a little bit about glucosamine, because I used to have a really painful shoulder. And you look them in the eye and you tell them about your experience. I've got Sheila here. Now, Sheila's not even a distributor yet. Wink, wink. But Sheila's been on the products for a year, and I was asking her the other night, her favorite one. She started telling me, Sheila, would you stand and just tell us about your experience with your favorite product? And she shares. And I hope you're feeling, Drummond, what I'm feeling. I'm feeling these people coming into the conversation, wanting right. to be a part of this. Instead of just going through the slides, going through the stories, you know, the same old stuff we've always done, we're pulling the audience into this conversation. They're feeling it. And I know your company well enough to know you've got products worthy of that kind of a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Those people deserve you showing up for them. What do they need to know? What is on their hearts? What kind of struggle did they have this afternoon? How many of them had a fight with a spouse to keep this commitment? How many of them feel guilty and not being home with their children tonight? What is going on with these 10 people? If you can mentally rehearse and just feel what it might be, it may not be exactly what it is, but it'll put you in the right space to be there, that present, on Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
You look into their eyes and you'll get an inspired idea, and you'll say, gosh, did anybody feel guilty coming here tonight, leaving their children at home? Get a little hand from Ruth, you know. Maybe not, but trust your gut in this, drum, and you're so intuitive. And if Sue raises her hand, you say, Sue, thanks. Thanks. Now watch this. How old are your children? And you open a bag, and you give her something to take home to her children. What is it? What's in the bag?
I'd like to say Jujubes, but I don't have any.
Probably not a candy bar when you're talking about health and wellness, right?
No high-glycemic stuff here, no. Probably just one of the really tasty low-glycemic bars that we have.
Yeah. Now, I shared that with you because all I saw was sitting on the table next to you was a sack that you went to your product line and said, what should I have in here? Don't even know how I'm going to use it, but what should I have in here? You should have three energy bars. Okay. Then you have it there because you trust it. Children, how old are they? Oh, that's why I needed to bring this. I just felt inspired to bring this tonight. Would you take that home to your children and tell them thank you for letting you come? This is a mental rehearsal. When you get done sharing your product line, your story, Sheila's story, honoring the people that are in the audience, what are the chances that they might actually connect with you and the product? Almost rhetorical, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And I know you well enough that if you went into this space and thought about it from this perspective, you'll create a miracle on Thursday night. So why don't you just do that? Create a miracle. We can get worried about how well I deliver and which slide I'm on, or, you know, a time frame that I should be in. Or we can focus on the 10 people who are there for the first time and show up ready to serve their needs. And there is a power in heaven who knows what they need. And you can be in tune enough that night to see it in their eyes and trust your gut. Have some fun with this. Anything else come into your heart as you're sitting here looking at these people? I'm just sharing with you what's coming to mind. Anything coming to yours? Anything else?
No, I think that acknowledging their decision to be with us this evening is a very powerful connection. And you know, maybe engaging them with a question about, you know, is there anything, any health challenges that they might have that they might want to share with us, or that they're worried about, or, and maybe that's too personal to ask in a group setting.
But, well, mentally rehearse it and see what happens. Ask it and see who responds. If you get kind of a maybe you shouldn't ask it.
Right.
But if somebody says, yes, I've had this, then explore that with them. What product you would use? You may not have that person ask that very question, but you'll be prepared to think that way when somebody does.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great idea. Just play these different options out. Just be with this presentation between now and Thursday. Whatever you do, don't go to my three people come, three people signed up, they brought in three people the next week, and they brought in three more, and pretty soon I'm buying new carpet for the house. That's the danger.
No.
That's the danger.
Yeah.
That's not the way to do it. You know this,
yeah.
So I'm preaching to the choir that we stay focused between here and your presentation and showing up in a way to deliver to them the very best experience they can have, trusting that whatever happens as a result of that will be the best it could have been.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mental rehearsal. That's how we use this vivid visualization. For everybody on the phone, we want to go into the future and imagine what it's going to be like. Wow, deadly, deadly. Let's go to the next event Thursday night, and let's rehearse everything that's going to happen between here and there. And we'll think of things such as having Sheila, inviting her to give a testimonial, if she will. Those kinds of things will come out of this very mental rehearsal process. And some people say, well, I'm just not that creative. And I say, no, you just probably haven't ever used it like this, for those of on the phone or just listening. If you truly ask, and now for the fourth time, what can I create? Just be with it. Just be still. Oh, sack full of what? What's in it? I didn't know, but there's a sack here. How can I create that? Okay, well, I could invite her to do the testimonial and have her come. And then you start to realize that's brilliant, because then she'll actually, you start to see the benefits of it after you have the visualization of it. How will that serve her? How will that serve the group? Oh, okay. It's called a revelatory experience. You get to experience the value as you start processing what you just saw. But if you'll trust what you see in these moments of mental rehearsal, you will create miracles. Now, you can go to the book or to your Intentional Creation Studio. If you go to the studio, you're going to go to quality number 2, mental creation. And you can go through these 5 constructive ways of thinking. If you got the book today, I Begin a New Life, you go through these 5 constructive ways of thinking. Whatever we do this week, before this week's out, let's do as Drummond just did and do a mental rehearsal about an event. Inspiration, if there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them. Get an inspired idea, call. Actually act on it. Just one of those, just so we start to feel them. The most important of all of them for your long-term success for all of you is the goal-setting exercises. So let's make sure we don't miss any of these. Well, it's been great to be with everyone tonight. Drummond, thank you so much for coming out and exploring that.
That was fun. Thanks so much for your ideas. That was great. And it's a very tangible utilization of the visualization process. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're so welcome. Will you report back to us next Tuesday and let us know what happened?
I sure will.
Good. We'll look forward to having you on the call and to sharing with us what happened. We might work a little bit next week, depending on what happens from that conversation, on a few more of those. Otherwise, we'll jump right into working passion-driven physical creation. Well, thanks, everyone. Have a great week, and start applying these principles. Have some fun with these things. The more we use them, the more we start thinking this way. You'll find that in time, you'll think in mental rehearsals. That's where you'll live. You'll just live in this space. It'll become so comfortable that everything you're doing, you'll just naturally mentally rehearse, get ideas, get excited, and execute. It sure beats spending our days in that dark dungeon of despair and discouragement, or in fantasy, being spanked by autonomic responses with cortisol and feared dendrites. Well, thanks, everyone. Have a great week. We'll be back next week. Just come off of mute and say good night. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Dave.
Good night.